the point of the whole is not to make the brain surface larger or anything like that. The point of the whole is so that the membranes which surround the brain can expand on the heartbeat. Because in order to have pulsation, it has to be against an elastic and expandable surface.
The brain membrane can expand on the heartbeat and thereby give pulse pressure to the contents if there is anything moving outward.
The easiest way to get a picture of expanded consciousness through increased brain blood volume is through understanding about the vasoconstricting properties of all drugs which get you high. If the veins are constricted, you have the same amount of blood going up through the arteries into these very flimsy little capillaries, which are very expandable. Less is coming out through the veins, so the capillaries expand. And there are a lot of capillaries, a lot of veins in the brain, a lot of cells, and that's happening all over. So the brain gets flooded with blood. In the baby, I mean this one here, you can feel here the fontanelle where the plates, you know, there are two fontanelles, one here and one here.
When you finish growing at the end of growth, yes, all the sutures have sealed together.
Right.
And the skull becomes a completely rigid case of bone around the brain. So the brain, as an organ, can't pulsate on the heartbeat.
Now,
the reason for making a hole is to allow it to pulsate again.
Unless, of course, he had a metopic skull. There are a percentage of skulls known as metopic where the sutures don't seal.
10% in Amsterdam of people, the frontal suture does not seal. And they have found on many graveyards all over the world that if an archive was present, then the open frontal sutures belonged to burgmasters, doctors, notaries, generals, captains of industry, but always to the top class and never to the bottom class, the lowest workers.
We know very precisely what happens, what to holes that you make in the head, because probably I think in terms of trepanation, there's more trepanation now in the last 50 years than has ever been done before, because first of all, there are many more people. Secondly, the techniques have evolved now so that people have neurosurgery. There was no neurosurgery 100 years ago. So now there are so many people, we know exactly what happens to them. We know the effects of these. And one thing we know for sure is that we don't suddenly have saints and savants developing from this procedure.
Theoretically, if one is able to constantly change the perfusion to the brain, then you might have some changes in neuronal activity, some enhancement. I guess theoretically it's possible. But the whole problem in the theory that has been proposed by the trepanators is that any changes would not, if one had a transient change, I don't see how it would be translated into a chronic or a long-standing change.
Well, I'll go out of limb. I mean, the possible mechanism might be something like just the trauma of producing the hole will irritate the brain in that, you know, to some extent. It'll cause probably some regional swelling and irritation or something like that. It might have some sort of reciprocating effect on the dynamics they think exist. But it's not that easy to produce significant changes in CSF flow or blood flow, especially when you don't ever do anything to the blood or the CSF. If you don't actually somehow intervene in the system that's supposed to change or whatever, I don't know how anyone could even speculate there would be one.
It'd be interesting to do research on it. I'm sure there'd be lots of volunteers. I've got lots of volunteers, you know, who would be bound to be subjects in research program. Someone would just do it.
I want it done. They might as well study on me. I'm a fairly normal person.
And you recently did a trepanation operation?
Sure, yeah. We operated on a 7-year-old boy who had a rock thrown in his head and had a depressed skull fracture. So in that instance, what we did was we created a hole in the skull, drilled out the bone, we repaired the bone, and then replaced the bone in its normal state.
This is a modern day drill bit that we use for creating burr holes or trephinations.
The drill itself actually has a little mechanism within it where once the skull is perforated through both its tables, it stops automatically so that the brain and the covering of the brain isn't injured. Here's a skull where a hole has been made through both the inner and outer tables, and then once it's gone through, it just turns but no longer cuts.
There's a great need for a genius from Caltech or MIT to take up the subject of electroplesmiography, which is measurements of blood pulsation, intracranial pulse pressure inside the skull through some electrical means without opening the skull, okay? So that the average person walking down the street can go into the hospital, get a test done, and determine whether his pulse pressure is positive, in which case he wouldn't need a hole in his skull, or negative.
If it's a research project on human subjects, it has to pass a board of a review board, IRB, they call it, Intramural Research Board. I doubt that any board would approve this. And if they were to do it on their own without a review board, they would, I think, open themselves up for malpractice.
No one's actually done a controlled study of this, so everything I'm saying is couched within that. I can't imagine a controlled study ever being done. I mean, it's hard enough to get more innocuous things, you know, approved for that kind of human research.
We've been trying to develop a better way of looking at brain movements in the living person, and I was a guinea pig myself. For 3 hours, I was in an MRI scanner while they made a movie of my brain pulsations. And I have no holes in my skull other than the normal ones for my eyes and my spinal cord coming out, the normal holes. And there is a pulsation because, first of all, there's all these fluids surrounding the brain and there's this big hole at the bottom. And what you see is the brain is pulsating and is moving in and out of that hole. So there's a pulsation, distinct, measurable. You can see the whole brain pulsating like not as much as the heart pulsates, but it's pulsating.
We've done research where we make openings in animal skulls to experimentally study head injury. We've not noticed any sort of changes in perfusion associated with the opening alone. But on the same token, we didn't really think about the opening in the skull as being significant, so it hasn't been studied in the same way as an actual traumatic brain injury study.
The medical science hasn't addressed themselves to explain what is happening when consciousness is undoubtedly expanded.
What is more conscious than conscious? It's sort of a joke that goes on with some of my Italian friends who constantly tell me about buying extra virgin olive oil. What's more virgin than virgin? You know, I don't understand.
Is there a consciousness at a level above, you know, what is considered normal?
Certainly. I think a creative musician, a creative physicist, is thinking at a very abstract level. That itself is a very high level of abstraction. Then there is spiritual consciousness. And this is a very interesting field because, we have no objective documentation of it, but you have a lot of anecdotal and historical experiences that have been written by, for example, the philosopher Buber. Martin Buber, in his writings, described very clearly that there are two fundamental types of mind, basically. There is the average person, and then there's the ecstatic person, the person who can feel this ecstasy, which again is a very strong and powerful emotion. And this is the basis of spiritual experience. This is mysticism.
I think it's an undoubted fact that one can change the level of consciousness that one experiences.
If the whole brain, with full brain metabolism, brain blood volume, is working, then in yoga literature it is called being God. The collective unconscious has come to consciousness. That's what it is. And I call that the rest of the brain has become high conscious.
Attempts have been made to try and get some physiological correlations with these kind of mystical powers or bodily powers, I call them. also, because the classical set of studies have been carried out by an Indian physiologist who studied here, worked at the National Institutes of Health. He went back to India and was able to get yogis who were expert in suspended animation. They could live in a small grave, basically, that was dug for them, and they would survive for up to a week with no food, no water, and no more air other than what was given to them. You know, you can alter your bodily functions and reduce the metabolic rate quite remarkably, slowing the pulse, dropping the blood pressure, dropping the temperature, increasing the temperature. And this has been done and has been documented also with a lot of biofeedback work. But in terms of a chemical correlation with consciousness at a higher level, there have been no studies done that have shown anything. People have attempted, but one of the problems is that this is an area which is at the boundaries of science. Scientists usually tackle problems, what are called well-defined problems. There are very few people who will go off at a tangent and try and discover something totally new. Everybody starts off in science learning something, learning a technique, and very often they do a very good work following that technique. But to go off at a tangent and do something new takes a lot of courage, and if you don't have funding, you don't do the science. That's always the problem.
First you must know all that is known, and then you must find what is not known, and then you must decide what is important to sort out yourself. Well, take Pavlov. He long ago had one aim, to cure insanity. He found a cure, and the cure was giving the dogs food with hash in it and amphetamine.
Are there any scientific evidence that this is an actual has medical?
I think as doctors, the first promise that we make is to do no harm to people. And so I think we have to be terribly careful about anything which isn't really proven.
I only would ask doctors that they add something to their practice called trepanation on demand. Continue practicing medicine. You guys are doing a great job. We're a healthier world than we've ever been before. But please, let this opportunity be available.
I consider it the function of the profession, the medical profession, the brain surgeons, to do the operation. But before he can start doing that, it must be scientifically verified by the profession.
They should be studied carefully to see whether this is true or not. Because, you know, if you believe something and you do it, you follow that belief, you will always, as long as your belief is maintained, you will feel the benefit of that belief. If you believe that putting straws of a certain color through your earlobes, that you will relieve all pain, it will relieve all pain for you.
I'm open to the possibility that these changes could be due to some physiological change, my change in attitude, my greater acceptance. However, I don't know because I don't have a test case.
Absolutely crucial to have some kind of a control mechanism for these subjective judgments, because then those are your dependent measures. So somebody says, okay, my memory's better, my memory's worse, we test them. Those things are subject to their own behavior and attention and belief that what they took was an effective substance.
I asked to have the hole filled in, and the surgeon thought it made for a sounder skull, so if I was in an accident or car accident or biking accident, something like that, I'd be less likely to have any brain damage occur. Recently, I have not felt probably as euphoric or as full of energy. I feel more fortunate on a steadier level, although I do have creative spurts, especially in my writing. I'd say recently, though, I have been probably a little more stressed. For a while, I remember I wasn't. I was pretty carefree. I don't know if that had to do with the fact that maybe being alive has that, the joy of that has worn off a little bit, or the freshness of like, wow, I just survived something really badly has worn off a little bit. And I'm more back into the humdrum of everyday life.
What is the evidence that there is an improved performance other than this, what they say they feel?
Right, but the fact that they, I mean, calmness, and whether that's delusional or not, or is, still doesn't deny that they have this, and they also have, you know, like...
But that could be delusional. They may feel calm because they did something to themselves that they thought should make them feel calm, so they feel calm.
The placebo effect is known. It's about 30%. You know, it's a big... That's why all drugs have to be tested beyond the placebo effect.
If it's a placebo effect, I recommend it.
Yeah.
To address the point of the placebo, I think the fact that when we thought Jerry had got through, and the fact that one didn't notice any difference, and then he had got through, one did notice a difference. I think that shows... That
it's not the placebo effect. If I had gone to the trouble to have a trephin, to have a hole in my head, it would be very, very difficult for me to think that it wasn't helpful, to think that all that was foolish and that I shouldn't have done that, or I was placing myself at risk for, you know, for an infection and death.
I think that I think there may be serious, you know, underlying psychological problems in these individuals, and they definitely should be evaluated.
They all have a common background of drug taking, and so with that kind of background, there is a certain mindset of what you expect to happen when you do something like this. You see, and that mindset will be similar because of the similar background. They are not a random sampling of people doing a trephine hole on themselves. They are a certain special group in a small group who have a common history, who have certain, you know, problems that they're trying to solve in their lives, and then carry out this very traumatic thing. So it's not surprising to have a common experience.
The profession has not started even studying the subject because they reject it from the beginning. They say, that is nonsense. I do not have to spend time neither to study this nor to verify this.
I think he's delusional. And there's a lot of suggestion that could be passed from one person to another about odd things like that.
Let's do some research.
Yes. Let's do some research. Yeah. Rather than just sensationalize it in the newspaper.
How viable a thing is that? Is life that boring the way it is in normal consciousness, that you need to take those risks to live it more fully?
And this vicious circle has not been broken for 30 years, and it can go on for 30 centuries. For you cannot force them to do anything. You cannot make them interested in it. If someone would be interested in the subject, his colleagues will drop him as insane, or wrong at least.
Well, it is interesting to see someone who actually has been to Japan and just... Because I always thought it was just like there was going to be this hole and... Like,
blood dripping off.
Yeah, but, you know, and it'd be sore and...
Strawberry jam.
So, good on you for coming on, Joe.
Thank you, mate.
Yeah, strawberry jam. Do not do this at home. We're talking something quite adventurous.
I've been detected a fraud many times already. That's what people do to anybody who tells something that people do not know.
Time to...